And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray and Rock God Rick Maxa.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here, Rock God Rick Maxa, on his way to Sitka, Alaska for our Kingfisher Charters trip with a great group of Let's Talk Hookup listeners. In the studio, Dr. Allen. The doctor is in. He is the scientific fisherman, professor at Cal State Northridge, and just a great guy. And he's a fisherman and a scientist, and he's on our side. That's a really good thing, for sure. And we're having fun talking fishing, talking giant sea bass and calico bass and just all kinds of really unique things here on this show. Learning a lot today from Dr. Allen. Thank you very much. A true teacher you are. Indeed.
I pride myself.
Yes, indeed. So you want to win something, here we go. We got the AFCO Performance Package that's up for grabs today to one lucky caller. It includes the AFCO Performance Short, the Performance Shirt, and the AFCO Face Mask, which is just a great outfit for summer here. And if you want to get through, all the lines are full right now, but keep on trying at 877-792-1090 or 858-457-1090. We're going to get right back to the phones, but first I'm going to tell you got to get ready for the next San Diego County Ford Dealer Live Remote at Mossy Ford in Pacific Beach. It's Saturday, July 4th, coming up pretty quickly here from 7 to 9 a.m. It's your second chance for the Shimano San Diego County Ford Dealers Casting Contest and your chance to qualify for the big grand prize, a trip for one to Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska, including round-trip ticket from San Diego to Sitka on Alaska Airlines. Yeah, that's right. Includes not only the trip, but the round-trip ticket on Alaska Airlines and four nights lodging at Kingfisher Charters, 3 days of fishing, and your fish processing. And you can also win a trip on the new Blackjack, which is really a great boat, at Adana Landing in Mission Bay. Shimano Rods and Reels are going to give away Trinidad A and Therese Rods. It's like a $1,000 setup there. Maui Jim gift cards, AFCO clothing package. Hey, whether you make the cast or not, you're going to have a chance to win all the grand prizes. As the winner of the casting contest and a random winner is drawn at each one of the four events that we're going to be doing, and if you're going to win one of those great prizes, including that 1 in 8 chance to win that trip to Kingfisher Charters on Alaska Airlines. And the prize cowboy Gary will be there giving away tons of stuff. It's all going to happen at Mossy Ford on the 4th of July, 7 to 9 a.m. and your chance to go fishing in Alaska free, courtesy of Alaska Airlines and Kingfisher Charters. Now, if you want rules and details, they can be found on our guest page at hookup1090.com. We'll see you there. That's going to be a fun event. Fun event yesterday at the Longfin, too. It was great to see all the people out there. And, man, were they some deals at the Longfin. Tom and Eric and the gang down there, and Pat and his gang from Shimano, Power Pro, G. Loomis, AFCO, they really did it up yesterday. So thanks for all the people for coming out to the Longfin yesterday. Really fun being up there in Orange County, for sure. Hey, let's go ahead and jump into the phones. John in Long Beach, you're next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great show, as usual.
Thank you very much.
Well, I wanted to ask the doctor, was there I remember fishing when the sand bass really started getting popular in the mid-60s, like out at Huntington Flats up here in Huntington Beach. Was there not a limit at a certain time? Because if I remember, people taking sacks and sacks of sand bass off the boat.
Well, there was a limit, but I don't think it was enforced. It was a 10 fish bass limit, all three species, since 1952 until the recent change in.
So you could get 10 sand bass, 10 calico bass.
No, 10 total.
10 aggregate.
10 aggregate total of bass. So you could get, three calicos, three sand bass, three spotties,
okay,
and then an extra.
Whatever, yeah.
Sand bass fishing up there at Huntington was just phenomenal, and some pretty darn good calico bass fishing and horseshoe kelp as well.
Oh yeah, well the calicos are still there if you know what you're doing, and they're cut. You know, the bass fishing is going to be coming back, particularly for kelp bass. That those spawning aggregations at Huntington and the Huntington Flats, they haven't been there for a few years, but
yeah.
In 2002 they caught 2.2 million of them. So right
wow.
there,
rod and reel.
Rod and reel, yeah, they went there catching them morning, noon, night, taking 13,000-14,000 fish a day off it, and that plus the weather conditions, I think, just collapsed that fishery. I'm on record as saying that. So it's been down since 2004, so it's almost 10-11 years. We've been out there with sonar the last, you know, three of the last 6 years, and they're out there. There's fish out there, but they're just not aggregating in the huge numbers to support that large of a recreational
fishery.
They
need to make a comeback.
Yeah, you know, in private boats that go out there, and they still catch them, but they're not nearly as abundant as they were.
Yeah, all right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Appreciate that. Let's talk to Kevin in Del Mar. Kevin, thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning. Kevin, are you still there? I guess Kevin left us. How about Tom in San Diego? Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen. Excuse me, I just took a bite of cereal. I have a question for your guest, Dr. Allen. Did you read the Pew Charitable Trust report on bluefin tuna, their study from 2012, whatever it was?
I've read parts of it, yes.
Did you read the preamble or the preliminary comments?
I can't say that I remember if I
well,
did.
Well, to me,
yeah.
Having done a little research in my time, not necessarily at a PhD level, but I think I've done a fair amount. They tripped all over themselves, almost apologizing for their sloppy methodology. And then this Amanda Nixon, who's the global director of Global Tuna Conservation, I think she came over from the Wildlife Fund, she put out a report that was one of the worst I've ever seen. I don't even think she's a scientist. She was confusing Atlantic bluefin with Pacific bluefin, and that is a single study, as far as I can determine, on which the 4% figure has been bandied about at these recent conferences, meaning 4% of traditional stock. Additionally, when they went down to Peru, either from this report or an extrapolation, they were trying to estimate the sport fishing catch out of San Diego and or the West Coast. Well, what they did, somebody speaks up hardly scientific research and says, well, I remember the average being 100-pound bluefin. Well, they may have seen some 100-pounders come in on the long-range boats and occasionally locally here, but the average more or less is 20 to 30 pounds from what I can ascertain. So I'm just, this research is sloppy, and I would ask you as a scientist and a fisherman, would you take one questionable study, or would you believe every sport boat fisherman last year who said they've never seen so many bluefin from here to Baja?
Well, as you said, the Pew report is not necessarily done by reputable scientists.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't buy that. Certainly, sport boat captains know a lot and they catch a lot. And I believe them. They know a lot of stuff. But I also would warn everyone that this is a northern Pacific population of bluefin, and there's a lot of things that go on with bluefin everywhere else, including here. They show up, you concentrate numbers on our coast, and that can look like they're going to be a lot more than there actually are. If those are all the bluefin in the North Pacific, then that's not a good thing.
Not that many.
That's not a good thing. I don't think that's the case. I think the stocks are much higher. They are a different species than the Atlantic, and you're right about that. There's actually, it looks like there's a different species of bluefin north and south of the equator in each of the major oceans.
Really?
So, yeah.
That just stay within that ocean.
Well, yeah, that's the, you know, they're separated by the equator and they don't mix.
They're not going to come because of the warm water, right?
The warm water, they just don't go through it. Yeah. And those are the major current gyre systems of the world, and they kind of follow those gyres. As I said, from Japan to Southern California, the ones off of Chile are the same ones that they find off of Australia and New Zealand. Yeah. So, you have to take a larger context. I don't necessarily believe the Pew report. I know some of the other things that have come out have been very, conservation slanted, yes. Conservationists or tree hugger slanted. Yeah. So, I just say, let's just, there's a lot of them. Let's be thankful. Go out and catch them. Don't catch too many.
Yeah. And how many do you need?
That's kind of what I'm saying.
And here's the deal too. NOAA did studies and NOAA is saying that the stocks are, in trouble. We don't know how much in trouble. I don't think they've really completed those studies. Have you seen those studies?
No. Yes, I have. The thing about our bluefin is that they're the Japanese bluefin, and the Japanese bluefin are being hammered. You got a fish that's ranging over 14,000 miles, and it's in a year. You just have to be careful.
Yeah.
You have to be careful.
So once they adopt the two fish regulation, which still hasn't been adopted yet, we don't know when it's going to be adopted yet. Let's give it a year or two and see if we can make some stock recovery, and hopefully then we have a better stock and even more bluefin than we're seeing today.
Yeah.
The good thing
about tuna is that they grow pretty fast. They can recover pretty quickly. In a decade, you can get a rebound.
Yeah. And remember, management. Rather than closures, let's look at management.
Yeah.
And that's the proper way to look at it. Like, for example, Mexico's knee-jerk reaction of closing the recreational fishery. How ridiculous is that? No. When they allow 3,300 ton of bluefin taken by the commercial guys, which, by the way, their quotas are already done. They've already found them. They're done. Mm-hmm. I mean, this early in the season. So what's that tell you? Maybe it was quite a knee-jerk reaction by Mexico.
Politics.
Yeah, it's politics.
It's politics.
Yeah, for sure. Hey.
Not science.
No, it's not science. Tom, good points. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. All right. Let's find out. Our man himself, Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide's on the line, and this report sponsored in part by Gamakatsu Hooks, Japan's leading fish hook that sets the standard for quality and innovation, strength and durability. Hey, it's the season to catch tuna, and the Gamakatsu Nautilus and Super Nautilus hooks are the ones that are putting the fish on the deck. They have the strength and the durability, and their point, man, those Gamakatsu hooks just catch fish. Bottom line. Hey, check them out. Gamakatsu Super Nautilus or the regular Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store. If your tackle store doesn't have Gamakatsu, ask for them. Check it out. Good morning, Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Doc. Good morning, Pete. We could go on and talk about this forever, Doc, and you and I could agree and disagree, but I only have 90 seconds. I got to talk about fishing, so let's go.
I prefer that, too.
Yeah. All I know is that all we have to go on is history, and nothing like this has ever happened before in the history of sport fishing, so I don't know. But, guys, this has been a one heck of a week. We have world record bluefin, possible world record bluefin being weighed in by a spear fisherman out there somewhere close to Catalina. The Tuna Club weighed in 100-pound-plus bluefin, first time in 90 years. It's unbelievable what's going on out there. The yellowtail bite up there on the 150, no one's ever seen that before in the history of sport fishing, that quality of fish. There's been plenty of good days of that smaller grade fish, but there hasn't been 2 months of solid quality fishing. And then look, San Diego took a couple of weeks off there, a little lull in the action, and here it comes back full speed. Look at the fish counts. What's amazing, Pete, is you look at the fish count today, and I did. I went through fishcount.com, and I looked at all the fish counts. There's only one landing that doesn't have yellowtail in the fish count, and that goes all the way up to the Channel Islands. It's pretty incredible.
Pretty incredible, indeed.
Yeah. It is pretty incredible, and we're talking the middle of June, guys. I just hang on to what's going to happen here. It's going to be historic, to say the least, Doc. I mean, this whole thing's historic. My father, he's only been doing this for about 70 years. He's never seen anything like it.
Wow.
So I don't know when it happened before. It was probably 75 years ago when it happened before my dad was doing this for a living. But it's pretty spectacular. All I can say, guys, is if you're not fishing, what are you waiting for?
Yeah. Hey, Dave, Willie talked about earlier in the show about yellowfin 5 miles off of Dana War Sport Fishing.
Yesterday. Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm freaking out. I got so much to talk about. Yesterday, I was out with my boss and his kids, and we were out whale watching, but we had a tank of bait. And Todd Mantor was whale watching. He called me in on a pot of dolphin 4.5 miles from the point.
Wow.
We got there, and the yellowfin were foaming in the middle of it. and we trolled through it, casted on it, dropped sinkers on it. We did everything we could possibly do. We had anchovy sardines and mackerel, and we just could not buy a bite. We left it, and then one of my buddies on a skiff ended up catching two off of it. So
nice. So speaking of Todd Manser, that front page of Western Outdoor News this week with that beautiful broadbill.
Oh. Yeah, his deckhand caught. Is that incredible?
Yeah, that was off of Todd was his captain, huh?
Yeah, not bad, huh?
Wow. That, and so that some of that's around too, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Everything's around. Opa on the flats up there in Huntington.
Jeez.
It's just unbelievable.
Wow. Like you say, you got to stay in touch with what's going on right now. Fishdope.com is the resource for everything you need, water temperature, everything. They've got it all on fishdope.com, and you can save $20 on a new membership at fishdope.com by using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW. And if we want to go fishing with Dave Hansen, how do we do that?
You guys can give me a call at 949-374-0786 or look me up on the web at yoursaltwaterguide.com. And what I do, guys, is I go with you on your boat and teach you how to use all those cool electronics that you got and teach you how to fish, where to fish, and what to fish for on your boat. I do not have a boat, so don't call me. I don't do charters. I take you on your boat.
There you go. All right, Dave, and you teach them how to use it. Come on down and teach me.
I would love to go fishing with you for
let's
a day.
Go, Dave, man.
We'll kill a bunch of stuff.
All right, Dave, we're going to hook up. All right,
bye.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next Sunday. Appreciate that very much. Hey, that you know, we're talking about Western Outdoor News, you know, the front page, bluefin, yellowtail. I mean, it's pretty darn. And you know what the cool thing about the yellowtail area is, you've witnessed, it's good grade yellows, right?
Yeah, they're big ones. You know, I think underlying all this, I mean, is this El Nino that's coming.
Yeah.
You know, I thought there was one last year, but it turned out they're calling it the California El Nino or California warm water or something.
Yeah.
But it's coming, and I think a lot of these big yellowtail, they're here rather than going south.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be here for a long time.
Yeah.
They're biggins.
Yeah, they are biggins. When are we going to see the full crux of El Nino?
Well, the latest report I saw was from the end of May, and it's warm. It's warm, and it's going to be a pretty good El Nino. Whether it brings the rains or not, we don't know. But
we hope it does.
Fishing is going to bring all those Baja fish north.
What about all these hurricanes already, like we talked about?
Yeah,
that's another three
indication.
Hurricanes.
Yeah.
That's a big indicator.
Yeah,
right?
In the eastern Pacific, there's none in the Atlantic, and that's typical of an El Nino.
Okay.
So very warm water, very warm water in the eastern Pacific right now.
Yeah, and pretty much we're going to have a very active storm season in the eastern Pacific, and the Atlantic traditionally has a very inactive storm system.
Right, that's the pattern.
That's classic El Nino.
Classic El Nino.
All right, very good. Well, let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phone lines. One line open. 858-457-1090, open right now. You want to get through, there is your chance. Let's talk to Tom in Temecula. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, guys. Morning, Dr. Allen.
Morning.
Every year, you know, we see a lot of these really small yellowtail under kelp patties. I always get a little concerned, you know, with the large take of those. And it seems like the yellowtail fishery is pretty healthy, just basically from what we're seeing every year as far as fish counts go. But could you speak into that a little bit? How healthy is that fishery? And it looks like it's pretty healthy. And do those fish grow really quickly? And then I have one more question after that.
Go ahead.
The other question is, in your opinion, what would be the next most a valued fish that we might want to reduce a size, a take limit on, besides the calico bass, either by size or, you know, fish take?
Well, the yellowtail question is, these yellowtail grow really fast. Only Dorado grow faster.
Really?
I mean, you've got those little guys on the patties. They are little guys. They are young of the year. They're coming up and, you know, under the patties, about a 2 or 3 pound fish is not even a year old yet.
Wow.
So, they, you know, yellowtail, as far as we know, only live to be 7 or 8 years old. So they grow very,
so
very
like
quickly.
That 46 pounder that Rick caught is maybe 7, 8 years old.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. although their otoliths are very small, as we talked about earlier. It's hard to age them. But they grow very fast. They can replace themselves very quickly. So I would say that the yellowtail right now are in pretty good shape. Actually, we just published a paper that says that on yellowtail, that says that our California yellowtail are California yellowtail. They're not the same as Japan and the South. So that's a little sideline. They're back to the old California name. So
okay.
I'm kind of proud of that because we have worked on them. They grow very fast. Most of them are off the Pacific Baja and in the Gulf. And those fish are all genetically mixed. The ones up in the Gulf of California and along the Pacific Coast up into Southern California, they're all mixed. They've tagged them early in the 50s and 60s, and they go everywhere. The Cedros fish come up to Anacapa. The Cedros fish go around the Horn of Baja and up into the Gulf. And now genetically we've shown that they're the same as well, but they're very different. They're different species of yellowtail in Japan.
Yeah, actually. Interesting. Yeah. All right. Very good. Yeah.
The second one was...
do you see any other fish that need to be protected,
I think we bottomed out on some things, and I think the size limits are probably that are in place are probably pretty good. Yellowtail's got one, too, now, so I think they're pretty well covered. Whether they needed adjustments or not, I don't know. But things like yellowtail and barracuda, bonita, they're pelagic.
We've got most of the key species that are temperamental.
They're dramatic swings in population, and whether they come up the coast or not, and all that other stuff. Yeah. So I think we're pretty good. The bass was the one that we needed to address. And that's because they hadn't been managed since 1952. They hadn't had a regulation change on them since 52.
And we're talking about fish that are recreationally caught.
Right.
Not
right.
targeted by commercial fishermen.
Right.
And the problem is a lot of fish that we also fish for that are targeted by commercial fish, they get devastated by the commercial guys. And one of the... Okay, I'm going to bring up one of my pet peeves here, okay. which I'm going to make not a lot of friends that are friends of mine. Maybe they're not going to be friends after I say this once again. When June 15th comes, the white sea bass limit goes to 3 for recreationals. The white sea bass limit for recreational guys goes to unlimited. They go out there.
The commercial guys.
Uh-huh. They can catch 150 in the spawning aggregations there. To me, that's just wrong. For a species that we've worked so hard to recover, why can't we put a limit on the hook and line commercial fishery, like we
oh the hook and line commercial
the hook and line commercial fishery yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah,
you know, a hook and line, they're not going to probably take as many as like a gillnet would, and the gillnet ban really helped that out. I think it's something that probably should be addressed.
You don't want
to pound on spawning aggregations. You just don't.
It's going to hurt us all in the long run.
It is not sustainable. It's not a sustainable way to fish.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Tom. Appreciate that. And when we come back, more of your phone calls, more from Dr. Allen. You stay tuned. This is Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. Let's talk hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Doing business with the right company always pays off, and Jobsite Supply is that kind of company. Selling commercial contractor supplies since 1987, Jobsite Supply specializes in quality and service. With lines like Milwaukee Electric Tools, their name says it all. Dependable jobsite delivery on the newest Milwaukee tools like the M12 Compact Vacuum and the M18 Cordless Shears. With an expansive inventory and knowledgeable staff, make Jobsite Supply your source for Milwaukee tools. Check Jobsite Supply. Lyco.com for more details. Angler Management Sport Fishing is proud to announce the latest addition to their fishing fleet. The 50-foot Bluefin will operate 12 pack trips this summer from Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Angler Management Sport Fishing and Captain Bob Aronson have developed the ultimate charter operation. Now, 3 fine boats, a 35-foot Cabo Yacht Sport Fisher for up to 6 anglers, a 26-foot Scout for up to 4 anglers, and now the Bluefin for up to 12 anglers. Check out amsportfishing.com and book your own charter today.
Good morning, it's Whitney from Mammoth Lakes, California. Come on up, the water's fine, is what the Eastern Tier is touting. And in Mammoth Lakes, it's much more than just the water. This summer, our 4 lakes will be stocked with almost 16,000 pounds of healthy fighting trout. From fishing and biking to hiking and horseback riding, there's a legendary story waiting for adventurers of all ages in Mammoth Lakes. Start planning your next adventure at visitmammoth.com. That's visitmammoth.com.
If you are ready to experience a real Alaska fishing adventure, check out Whaler's Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska. The calm waters around Whaler's Cove are 100 miles from any large towns, so you will enjoy a wilderness adventure without any crowds. Whaler's Cove Lodge has some of the best salt and freshwater fishing in Alaska, and there is no need for a bumpy boat ride for hours. You can find productive fishing for salmon, halibut, and rockfish just 10 minutes from the lodge. Whaler's Cove also offers fantastic freshwater fishing in wilderness streams for wild salmon and trout. The Whaler's Cove experience will fulfill your wildest Alaskan dreams on the calm water of the Inside Passage or on a spectacular stream. It's your choice every day at the Whaler's Cove Lodge. After fishing, you will dine on fabulous meals created daily by the Whaler's Cove chefs and relax in your comfortable room or cabin. Learn more about this exciting Alaska destination on their website at whalerscovelodge.com or call 800-423-3123. Whaler's Cove Lodge, a real Alaskan fishing adventure.
It's big, it's comfortable, and she is beautiful. The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence. Veteran captains Mark Paisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Captain Jeff Dubois has helped make the Independence a top-notch operation. Call Independence Sport Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check the availability on spring, summer, and fall trips now at IndependenceSportFishing.com. Meet the innovation award-winning Yamaha V6 Offshore 4-Strokes at 300, 250, and 225 horsepower. These Predators are up to 73 pounds lighter than the competition. And with class-leading 4.2-liter displacements, they're up to 19% faster and up to 17% more fuel efficient at cruise RPM than comparable 4-strokes. And now they're available with Hellmaster, Yamaha's fully integrated boat control system. Meet the next generation of Yamaha V6 Offshore 4-strokes today at your local Yamaha dealer. Hellmaster available with V6s purchased only as part of new boat packages from boat builder partners.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here along with Dr. Larry Ann. We have good conversations about all kinds of, stuff here in the studio with Larry. I mean, it's just like, wow.
We just had a disagreement.
We had a disagreement, and but we kind of,
Yeah, I worked it out.
We worked it out.
Listened.
Yeah.
I listened to you.
Yeah, he listened to me, and hopefully we can work it out in the future there. But it was it's always fun to talk to Larry because he's really got a lot of insight and really is very concerned about our fisheries here in Southern California, too. There's a guy that's always concerned about our fisheries, and that's our buddy Bart Hall from the Fred Hall Show. Good morning, Bart.
Good morning, Pete, and good morning, Larry.
Hey, Bart, how you doing?
I'm fine. I kind of slept in this morning. I missed the first part of the show. Did you get to talk about your new book?
Not yet. God, I'm so glad you were bringing it up. I was going to wink at Pete here pretty soon.
Yeah.
There is a new book coming out. It's called The Guide to the Coastal Fishes of the Pacific Ocean from Alaska to California. Been working on it for about four or five years with an excellent artist, Val Kells, who did the fishes of the Atlantic coast, and she's done the fishes of the pelagic zone and the tunas and billfishes of the world. She's a magnificent artist. These are all brand new renderings, watercolor renderings, and they're just magnificent. So we've got in this new book, it won't be out till next February. It's in press right now, but it's pretty much finished. And it's going to cover over 700 fish on the coast of the Eastern Pacific, Northeastern Pacific.
Wow.
Yeah, things that you will see. The fishermen will know some of these, and a lot of them you won't know because it's a complete list.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. You've been working on this book for how long?
4 years.
4 years.
4 years, yeah.
And
we're
going to see it when?
Well, the publication date is February 2016.
Just in time for the Fred Hall Show.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. Bart was really kind to, he reviewed the book and gave us a really nice blurb, and I think we're probably going to be signing books at the Fred Hall Show.
Oh, fantastic. Year. Yeah, I was able to preview the book. Is that
correct, Bart?
Well, I was thinking, yeah, maybe next to the saltwater tank, which is managed by the Department at Cal State Northridge and Larry Allen, And we've had that relationship for a long time, that saltwater tank. Even though we built it, we donated it back to them, but they take care of it for us and bring it to the shows and put those lovely fish in. And I think it's a real nice thing for people to see those nearshore fishes in an environment that's more natural. I really love the tank, and I like the relationship we have with it. And I think that would be a good place to have your sell and have your book signed right there.
Sounds good to me.
Guide to Coastal Fishes of the Pacific.
Of the Pacific.
By Dr. Larry Allen.
Well, Val Kells, Luis Rocha, and Larry Allen.
And Larry Allen. All right. And so, yeah, we'll be autograph signing in front of the tank.
Sure.
Yeah, how's that sound?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Hey, Bart, thanks for reminding us. That was one of the things on our agenda, but we've gotten pretty wrapped up in a lot of different issues here today.
Well, you know, Larry and I don't always agree, but we're very, very thankful to have a fisherman and a biologist doing this, that work. You can't just be one or the other. You got to be both.
There's no question about it.
I agree.
Very fortunate. Yeah. There's not a lot of Larrys around, and we're lucky to have a guy like Larry for sure.
Good job, Larry.
Thanks.
See you tomorrow at the Wicked Tuna Captain's reception, Bart.
I'm looking forward to it, Pete. I'm really anxious about that.
It's
I hope it fills
fun.
Up, and I hope everybody comes and has
Oh, yeah. We're full. 175 people. Going to be a great time.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. All right. Let's go ahead and jump back into those jam-packed phone lines. Doug in Montebello. Good morning, Doug.
Hi. I was wondering on the fish. Why do some of the fish, when they get big, they don't taste good? And the other ones, like another species of fish, will be okay. Like, say, the yellowtail is okay when they get even they get bigger. But like the bass, they taste terrible after like about 4 pounds.
Why that is, I don't know, but it's true. That's been my policy is always to eat the smaller fish if I'm going to eat them. They get old, they get
tough
parasites. You know, they've a lot of mileage on them. I don't know. I've noticed that with sheephead, with basses, and particularly the giants. You know, the giants are really tasty when they're young. Not that I've eaten a lot of them. I have eaten some of them. But when they get really big, they get pretty tough, and
yeah.
I don't prefer that meat.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, thanks a lot for
old age. That's all I know.
Old age, yeah. Yeah, you and I are probably pretty tough, too.
Exactly.
When we run into cannibals. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Let's talk to Kevin in Del Mar. Kevin's back. Good morning, Kevin. Kevin. I guess we lost Kevin again. He was here, then gone. Kevin? I'll give you one more shot. All right, Lou in Fullerton, you're next up. Good morning, Lou.
Hey, good morning, Pete, and Dr. Allen. Hey, I read your Coastal Review, your December review on the GSDs, and it was really quite informative. Everything you've been talking about is in the review, and I was really surprised on that little juvenile fish. He's unbelievably beautiful and so out of shape. It's a miracle that he was even caught and you were able to see one. Has there been a bigger study in Newport on that little juvenile?
No, but I currently have a student, Stephanie Benzman, who's out diving everywhere where they could be. It turns out that they're most abundant, the little giant sea bass are most abundant at the heads of canyons out over sand.
Really?
Over
so
sand,
then what you're talking
water.
About is juvenile black sea bass.
Yeah,
juvenile black sea bass
or giant sea bass, and they look very different than the adults. And they look like little aquarium fish. They're really, really
kind of like a juvenile Garibaldi does, right?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit. But they do hang out in the drift kelp and in the sand ripples out off of the beaches, particularly in the areas around where there's canyons coming close to shore, La Jolla, Redondo, even Newport. Yeah. There's that.
Well, your article that review was really, really informative. A lot of people should read it, and it would really be an eye opener, and it opened my eyes.
Well, good. Thank you for saying that.
All right. Thanks, Lou. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the call this morning. John in Huntington, you're next up on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. And Dr. Allen, just have a lot of respect for your scientific approach, and you know that you would like to see studies done and all that. And so along that lines, I was curious what your feeling is on the water quality issue off the Southern California. Over the years, it seems like it's gotten a little bit better maybe from what it was in the 50s, but what's your take on it, and is there has there been any studies on it that show the effects?
Well, yeah, there's been thousands of studies, and it really boils down to it's a lot cleaner now than it was in the 60s and 70s. It's still not great. The biggest problem we have now, and that's largely due to secondary and tertiary treatment of the sewage.
Right.
And the lack of industrial dumping like Montrose in the 15 billion tons of DDT. That stuff is now kind of buried. It's still in the food web. But it's the storm drains now. That's the big concern now is because everything that goes onto the street goes into the ocean, basically, right, anywhere in the basin. Overall, the tissue burdens of a lot of the fish are better than they were in the old days. I know personally that I haven't seen a white croaker or a sand bass with a tumor on it in the last 25 years, and those were very common when I started studying fish back in the 60s. So there's a lot of good things. There's still tissue burdens there that are troubling in some fishes, and those have been identified. And a lot of the work has been done by SCWRP, the Southern California Coastal Water Research Project. If you Google them, you could see all the work they've done. The EPA is doing stuff now, typically around the Montrose. There's been a lot of work done on the sediments, the worms, the fish, the whole food web, and how this stuff is magnified up through the food chain. But we're, as I always say, and I surprise people, it's a lot cleaner now than it used to be. And
that's
in my
and
youth.
Look at the air too.
The air
is cleaner. The water's cleaner.
Well, we're finally
we're
getting
progress.
It. We're finally getting it. Yeah. It's you just can't spew stuff out.
Now, if we can
the,
just cheat China to do that.
Yeah, right? that's a problem.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
Hey, thanks. Good question. Thanks a lot for the call, Paul and Santee. You're next up on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I don't know if you've seen it on the news about the tuna crabs from...
the pelagic red crab.
Yep. Yeah, from La Jolla, I guess, down to Ensenada.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have them up in...
yeah, they've had
LA
them up there. They had them up at Moss Landing. No, at Hopkins in Monterey. I'm mixing up my...
Okay.
They've had the by-the-wind sailors and the red crabs. That's an El Nino indicator. And we had some last year.
Yes.
But this year they're
thick.
Yeah, they're thick, and the little Velellas, the little by the wind sailor,
yes,
little hydras, those things are all over the place, and we only see those during El Nino.
Yeah, they are, and those are non poisonous. You can actually hold them.
You
in
can
your
hold
hand.
Them. They've got stinging cells, but they're not as strong as like the purple,
yeah,
the striped purple.
So
or,
when they wash in
jellies.
And the scuppers of the boat, you don't need to
nah,
worry.
Nah, you don't
right?
need to worry about it. Now the you know the big
purple.
Yeah, purple striped. Sea jellies, yeah. I call them. I don't
well,
know.
They look the
yeah, those can sting you.
The sailors look a little like Portuguese man.
Yeah,
of war,
they're
right?
the same group. They're the
oh,
same
they
group of colonial hydroid little
okay.
hydra things.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're colonies,
but very different because the
yeah.
Portuguese man of war.
Portuguese man of war is deadly. Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
I've got one other thing.
Yeah.
While you got those two guys from the East Coast out here, I suggest that you work on Friends of Rollo for the East, getting them started on the East Coast.
That's a good idea. We'll work on Paul and Dave on that. And hopefully we'll see you at the event on Monday afternoon at the Bally High. Look forward to it. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Let's talk to Ray in Oceanside. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, good morning, Pete. Dr. Larry, how are you? Good morning. My question sort of got answered by the second call back about the quality of our water.
Mm-hmm.
I love the show. Appreciate all the people that call in. Gundy, I love this report. I do a lot of surf fishing.
He's awesome.
My question that I could like to touch up on, if you could please, is the quality of the fish as far as toxicity. You know, you look at the rules and regs, that you only should be this many pounds of this fish, quarter pound of this, you know. Has those numbers changed? Has there been any search, you know, research as far as the quality of the fish? And, you know, for us, it's
like in the bay and such like that, they used to say you don't eat more than 2 ounces.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are reports, and there are, you know, the sanitation districts have reports. And, you know, it's all based on risk, you know. It's kind of like cancer risk and all that. My advice has always been don't eat a lot of anything that's from very near shore, you know. And if it's in an embayment like San Diego Bay or Newport or something, I personally don't eat them because there's still magnification going on there. Particularly,
there was a lot of stuff in the bay in the early days.
Yeah, a lot of stuff in the bay in the early days, but there's still stuff coming down into the bays from the watershed right now. And so, you know, estuaries, bays and estuaries are pollutant sinks throughout the world.
Right.
You know, they're at the interface between the ocean and the land. And so you might want to, you know, take it easy on those. You know, children and pregnant women shouldn't be partaking a lot of this fish, but, I have a dear friend of mine that's been fishing forever, and he eats fish constantly, and he's fine.
Dang.
Yeah, for 50 years, you know.
Sure,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, but yeah, it's all a calculated risk.
Yeah, yeah. Indeed. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. I want to remind you, be sure to check out our website, hookup1090.com. It should be on your favorites, and check it every day. We're always trying to update. This week we have a brand new photo of the week. Very good. Michael from El Cajon had a great day on yellowtail. Of course, our angler's table always has great recipes available for you, including that, fennel crusted tuna with wilted cabbage and orange soy sauce. It's up right now. And of course our store, check out our store. We've got great, great items. You know, summer coming. We have that Sol sunscreen, the best sunscreen, keeps the sun off. It's a one application. You're good for the day. Of course we've got our AFCO shirts and our Let's Talk Hookup hats, t-shirts and lures and such like that. It's all available. And of course on the front page too, we've got those great banners where you can save bucks on the Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. You can go to directly to Kingfisher Charters and check out the new Shimano Torium HG too, right on the front page banners. All available at hookup1090.com. Let's talk to Tim calling us from Pacific Beach. Good morning, Tim.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
I grew up in the Northwest, up in Washington State, Oregon, and up there. And there's a guy, Judge Bolt. Do you ever hear of that guy?
No.
Yeah, well, they pass. Well, just for example, they have the gill netters, and you brought it up when you were talking earlier about how the gill netters, and he stopped it. It's a miracle that any fish make it at all up these rivers. Have you been up there north at all? Like,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you have the native regulations sometimes too. That
the tribes.
Yeah, but how do you stop the steelhead, and how do you stop anything else from hitting those nets? I mean, it's a miracle that any fish make it up there at all.
It's
and the
true.
Indians, they're the right. This guy just well. It's a miracle that any fish make it up there at all. They come in, they're going, no, the Indians can go in first, and they're giving away God's creatures to make it right for what the white guy did 200 years ago. I'm so bummed about it, you know, but, and they rape it. I mean, like, it's just, it's insane what happens up there. Like, how do you go backwards on it? How do you stop this? How do you get those gill netters out and the longliners taking 150 frickin' fish a day? What do we do? Can we vote against it? I mean, is there something we can do?
What do you think, Larry?
Well, what we did in California is they passed a proposition, the voters of California, with the United Anglers and a variety of other interest groups got together, and they put it on the ballot, and they closed the gill netting south of Arguello, to the Mexican border within 3 miles. So that's one way to do it, and that was kind of independent of fish and game regulations and management. So I think that would have to be done at the state level in Washington and in Oregon.
Right.
Gill netting is not typically a sustainable way to fish.
No. And we need a voice. And fortunately, now we have a voice. CCA, California, is here. They are our voice nationally as well as locally. CCA has been a voice nationally for a number of years, been proven successful in Texas, Louisiana, places that face a lot of the same issues that we have, Florida and such like that. Mm-hmm. Now CCA has come to California. We've got a great board. We've had memberships. So join CCA. That is one way that we can change things.
Right.
I know they've done work in the Northwest and stuff like that, and that's one way we can really make a difference, and that's our voice as recreational anglers against these destructive fishing methods. Yeah. All right. When we come back, thanks a lot for your call. When we come back, we're going to take more phone calls. No, we're not. We're done. We're going to tell you about the rest of the show, tell you who won, and thank Dr. Larry Allen, tell you about next week. Stay tuned. Let's Talk Hookup, Mighty 1090.
fishing season started early, so now is the time to visit the best saltwater tackle store anywhere. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. With more inventory than ever before, we know the demand is going to be huge this season, so why wait? Visit us now and get your pick of the best equipment. Hey, there are already tuna, yellowtail, and marlin in local waters, so gear up now for what could be our best season ever. Take advantage of our expert staff that knows how to outfit you the right way. Come by and see us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego or saltwatertackle.com.
For East Cape Fishing, Gen Rin is known as the best. This is Mark Rayer. Great service, top quality equipment, including all accurate reels, CalStar rods, and Cibran electronics, has put my immaculately maintained twin engine cruisers in a class of their own. For memories of a lifetime, just bring your hat and sunglasses and we'll provide a fishing experience that will exceed your expectations. Our calendar's filling fast, so don't miss out. For packages, two live webcams, a weekly fishery report, and more, check out TeamGenRen.com. We pick up at all East Cape resorts, so let's go fishing.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
Rancho Leonero was awarded the Certificate of Excellence from TripAdvisor for four straight years. Especially interesting, most hotels are just hotels, and most people stay in the hotel and go do their activities elsewhere. Rancho Leonero, of course, provides fishing, diving, all activities, all meals, your whole vacation. So the fact that we're so highly rated, we're very proud of it. From picking you up at the airport to dropping you off, literally everything is turnkey from there. We make it as easy as we can for you at the ranch. From your meals to whether you're going to go fishing or diving or just hang out by the pool. When you're coming to Rancho Leonero, you are coming to John Ireland's home. I guarantee the best fishing vacation experience in all of Baja. It's unique. There's nowhere that I could think of to get the same experience that you get at Rancho Leonero. Our new reservation phone number is 800-646-2252, 646-BAJA, and RanchoLeonero.com. It's really unique. It is. We're very proud of it.
Have you checked out the giant Fastlane kayaks in Mission Bay yet? It's hard to miss, right in the middle of Dana Landing, across from SeaWorld in Mission Bay. This massive 5,500 square foot location is loaded with Hobie Mirage Drive kayaks and all the accessories. They also have a great selection of Hobie clothing, stand-up paddle boards, paddles, and more. Check out the new model Hobie kayaks arriving daily and see the great deals on previous year's models. Even test a kayak or stand-up paddle board right out their back door on Mission Bay. When it comes to Hobie kayaks, no one does it better than the crew at Fastlane Kayaks at Dana Landing across from SeaWorld in Mission Bay. Check FastlaneSailing.com.
XSRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Padres.
Oh my gosh, this club is playing fantastic baseball.
San Diego's sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Mighty 1090, and want to say thank you to Dr. Allen for coming in. Sure appreciate it. Oh, I forgot to say, the winner of that AFCO performance package is Luke. Luke won the package, and he gets a AFCO performance short, performance shirt, and face mask from AFCO, which is great stuff. I don't know whether you wear AFCO, but it's good stuff. It's really, sure. Really good. Dr. Allen, thank you for all your time. I know you got up very early in the morning in Northridge to drive down to San Diego today.
It's always a pleasure. I get up for fishing and fishing show.
Okay, very good. Now, your book. We talked about the book, and thanks for Bart for reminding
us.
It's going to be available at the Fred Hall Show.
It will be next year, yes.
Yeah, at the Long Beach Show.
And it'll be on Amazon. It's wide publications. It's John Hopkins' book.
And I was able to preview it. It really is really going to be quite a book and something that every Southern California fisherman should have.
I think it'll be a great resource.
And we'll keep you posted here on the show. And maybe we can have you on the show just prior to the publication, too. Sure. Yeah, next year. But thanks, Larry. Appreciate it. And
you're welcome.
If you're going to Cal State Northridge, take Larry's classes, right?
Sure. Yes. Yeah. We have a lot of students, though.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Well, thank you for listening today. We're going to be back next Saturday and Sunday. Mr. Brad Styler from Rapala will be back in the studio next Saturday. And then next Sunday, Captain Buzz Brizendine from the Prowler will be here. Thanks for listening today. We'll be back next week. Bike Week Radio is next.